Hello and welcome to I Will Write Your Book. My name is Will Hines. I am a ghost writer, which means that I write other people's novels and nonfiction books for them, and I am not credited. In the past, I've always signed NDAs that stop me from revealing the work I've done, but what I'm doing now going forward is I'm recording my conversations with my clients, and I'm doing this so that you out there, writers and fans of the publication world, can sort of see what goes into the making of books when they are ghostwritten. And with permissions of the clients, I'm releasing these tapes as this podcast. Today we're going to get into a really exciting client I met who wanted to write a children's book. So without further ado, let's get into it. All right, this is tape 14 coming to you from Sanders Coffee Shop in Sherman Oaks, California. This is Will Hines. We're about to meet with a client, and I'm sitting with Karen Donahue, my copy editor. Without further ado, let's introduce today's client. Our client today is Ms. Margot Long, a volunteer at the Sherman Oaks Branch Library. Margot, thanks for being here.
Oh, wow, and thank you guys so much for all your help. Really excited to be here.
Oh, yeah, we can't wait. I love another one of the great things of writing people's books is you get to see other people's visions come to life.
Exactly.
Yes, and I'm so excited to help you do that. I said Ms. Was I?
I think that's presumptive.
Yeah, my chest clenched up. Not to say that you're wrong.
I should have checked first. Do you have a preferred title that you like?
Oh, no. Yeah. I do like Ms. Long.
You actually do like Ms. Long. Okay. So I should have checked, but Karen,
still
see,
clenched.
I was right.
Yeah.
Right. But this is a thing you don't always need to do that. You
I
don't
should
need
have
a Ms., a Mr., a Mrs. You
Who
can
needs
just
it?
Say Margot Long.
Okay. Good note. Note taken. Thank you, Karen.
It's unnecessary.
Okay, I'll take note of that. Margot, thanks for coming in here. Mm-hmm. So, why don't we just get right into it? What kind of book are you thinking we could write for you?
Absolutely. Well, I am absolutely stuck.
Okay.
I have a brilliant idea, I believe.
Yeah.
And I'm writing a children's five and under book. It's a children's book. Age five and under.
Very young.
Very young. And it's called My Three Dogs, and I am stuck.
You have writer's block.
I have writer's block.
I like that.
Oh, thank you.
I like that.
Thank
yeah.
you.
Do you have three dogs?
I have two, and then I'm fictionalizing a third.
Interesting.
Oh, that's a fun choice.
Well, I got to say, I've never written a book for such a young age group, five and under. I haven't done ghost authoring, but okay, there's no project too big or too small here.
Are you scared that you can't do it?
No, I'm not scared. I'm just sort of noting that is an unusual to audience. So you're stuck, you say.
I'm stuck, yes.
Have you made any progress at all? Do you have any vision of what you want the story to be?
Great. So I love it to revolve around three dogs.
Three dogs.
And I have the first line.
Okay.
My three dogs. And then
that's,
I don't know, it's almost like a
that's
I feel
where you
crippled.
That's where you get stuck.
Yes.
That's poignant. I like that.
Oh, thank you.
You do like that. So I just want to point out your first line is that the same as the title?
That's right, yes.
So in your vision, somebody would be looking at the book and it says My Three Dogs, then you open it up and the first page would also say My Three Dogs.
Yes.
And are you thinking that's a full sentence or do you think there's more to
come?
No,
I think there's more to come.
Okay.
But again, not many more words after that.
Probably just a couple.
Probably a couple.
Yeah, it's good to have a quick, short grabber at the top
yes,
of a book.
Yes, exactly.
Now, I just want to say a couple things that I like about your idea.
Right.
Okay? Is that you're bringing some of yourself to it.
Thank you.
Right?
Thank you, yes.
But you're also adding a bit of whimsy to it.
Right.
And you're saying that, Karen, because two of the dogs, Margot, you have two dogs.
That's right.
Are you thinking that two of the three dogs will be based on your dogs?
You know something that's such a great idea, and I had not even
you
considered that.
You had not thought of that.
No.
So you knew that you wanted to call the book Three Dogs. You have two dogs.
My three dogs. Yeah, my three dogs. I have two dogs.
And you did not think that they'd factor in.
I had no idea.
This might be funny.
Thank you so much for saying it, because sometimes it's like, oh, there is a piece of me in what I'm doing. I'm not even realizing it. Yes. I should base. That's great. Okay, so
maybe that's our first thing that we would do if we worked together, that we will use your two real dogs as inspiration.
So my first dog is Cooper. And
Cooper, great.
Cooper acts like a cat.
Oh.
He's so aloof. He is so aloof.
Yeah.
You know, he's into me. He's not into me.
That's very cat-like.
It's very cat-like, and it's so funny. Sometimes I say I have one dog, one cat. I'm lying. I'm joking. I just mean that Cooper acts like a cat.
Right.
So that's,
but you do lie about it sometimes.
Yeah, I do. I mean, yeah. I sometimes think of jokes as lies.
Okay. Yeah. I guess jokes are lies. They're truthful
sometimes,
and they're surprising, but they're lies that hopefully we're let in on at some
point. Yeah, absolutely. Hopefully.
So Cooper's like a cat.
So Cooper's kind of like a a cat. Yeah.
So if we have a dog based on Cooper, is that going to be confusing? Maybe that shouldn't be the first dog. Maybe the first dog should be more an archetypical dog.
Oh, sure. Great.
What's your other dog like?
Glenn. And I hate Glenn.
Wow. Okay. You don't like your second dog.
Like my second. But very dog-like. You know, aggressive.
Glenn is doggish.
Yeah. Glenn is doggish. Aggressive.
Really?
Bites.
Ooh.
You know, like, yeah, all of, you know.
Wow, okay. These are very stereotypical
dog
things.
Yes, barks.
Okay, yeah. So an aggressive, wow.
That kind of sound.
That's, even the way you did it is scary. If I was like walking by your house where you lived and I heard that, I would be like, oh, I'm not messing around.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
And the name of the dog is Glenn.
Glenn, yes.
What a calm name for this dog.
That's right, yeah. Actually named after my son.
Oh.
And no worries.
Okay. So, I'm sort of hesitant to ask, but maybe just for the sake of the book, I should ask. Can you tell me a little bit about your relationship with your son, Glenn?
Glenn has disappeared from my life.
Okay. I'm sorry.
I think that it's interesting. Like, I think when I talk about my estranged son, people think that he is, he was rebellious. The opposite was true. He was actually overly obedient.
Very obedient.
Yeah.
Okay.
You have a very obedient, like really loved
well behaved.
Yes. And very very literal minded. And I said, you know, you need to go out into the world. And I have not seen Glenn since.
Very literal minded.
Very literal minded.
I have not heard that description for a lot of. Do you mean like just took things at face value?
Yes, took things at face value. And again, wanted to please. So it was not a drug related issue. No, Glenn would never touch.
Yes.
It was not like a woman I did not approve of. You know, Glenn would never kiss.
How old was Glenn at the last time that you saw him?
Glenn was 11 years old.
Quite young.
Quite young.
And how long ago was that, Mark?
And this was 11 years ago. Oh, my gosh. It's an 11.
Wow.
11 years old, 11
make
years
a
ago.
Wish.
Make a wish,
make
everybody.
Make a wish that he would come back. That's easy.
Now, Margo, I just want to say something here.
Yeah.
I think you have a bigger story to write.
I don't.
You do, Margo.
But I don't.
You do.
That's where the third dog comes in. You know, because that's what's bigger, right?
So we have Cooper, the dog that acts like a cat, Glenn, the super aggressive dog named after the passive, literal-minded boy who's vanished. I'm starting to see why you're stuck. There's a lot going on underneath the hood here, I think. And then we have a third fictional dog. Have you put any thoughts into that?
Yeah.
Oh, sure. Like the third fictional dog. Well, I was thinking that it might be just like wise.
Okay, that's not a bad. I like that, a wise dog. That could be good for a kid's book, especially somebody who's giving wisdom. That might be a good balance to the aggressive, to the aggressive
and
Glenn.
The aloof.
Right.
Yes.
And
right.
The aloof Cooper.
We're starting to have a good spread of this. You know, Margo. This. I think this book could really work out.
I think you can do this yourself, Margo.
Oh my gosh!
I wouldn't say that necessarily.
I think you can.
Maybe.
I think you're just. You know, you're putting up a block for yourself, and I think you have a lot of information. You've already worked it all out.
Okay, well, let's give it a shot.
Okay.
My three dogs are my son.
Okay, well, that's a great start. I like how personal that is. That is a good, bold first step. I don't think it makes sense for kids under 5. I don't think if you're reading that to like a 4-year-old, I think that might confuse.
Right.
Maybe we should bump the ages up a little bit. Maybe you want to write a young adult novel, really.
That's not what she wants to do, though.
Well,
no.
Karen,
that's not what she has her heart set on 5 and under.
Yeah, there's no more story there.
She has her heart set on 5
and
under.
You know, Glenn, of course, you know, my
your estranged,
my estranged. A lot of people are saying, oh, you should write about him. You know, he was this child prodigy. He was this like amazing child prodigy.
He was a child prodigy.
And he was playing piano at 2 years old. And,
two years old.
I was like, no, there's nothing there. This is about the dog, Glenn, Cooper, and then a third, maybe wise dog.
Okay, so, and Glenn does, the Glenn the dog doesn't really act like Glenn the boy.
No.
And you want to base Glenn the dog on Glenn the dog and not Glenn the boy?
That's right.
Maybe, what if we just try... What if Glenn the dog was like Glenn the boy? What if Glenn the dog was a dog prodigy? Like a dog who could, you said, play piano at the age of two?
Two years old.
That's incredible.
That's incredible. Okay, I mean, look, hey, I'm here. I'm
just
trusting you guys.
Just spitballing, and a lot of times when you're writing, you'll
Other stuff about Glenn, and again, I'm not sure there's anything there. Okay, so played piano at two, incredibly obedient and literal-minded.
Literal-minded. It's a phrase I just haven't heard described by other people, but...
You know, the things you don't know.
We learn. That's one of the great things about this job is you learn about a lot of different worlds.
I mean, I get what... I guess other stuff about Glenn, he would constantly go on adventures.
Adventures, like, you mean just... explore like around
explore in, you know, in fantastical settings and stuff like that. Just like other just
fantastical settings. Do you live in Sherman Oaks? You volunteer at the Sherman Oaks Library.
Yes, that's right. Yeah, I live in Sherman Oaks.
You don't work there.
What's that? I volunteer there. Yes, thank you. Important distinction. I volunteer in the... So a lot of people know that you can check out books, but there's also a small kind of like a gift shop, like a book where you can buy old books.
Oh, I didn't know that.
50 cents each or three for $1.
Okay.
So I work there. I'm behind the counter there.
You
yeah.
manage the selling the...
That's right.
Books mm-hmm. that they're...
That is really such a selfless act volunteer
I agree
time.
With that.
You know, just the socializing of it, I love it. Mm. I just love the atmosphere, the calm atmosphere of the library, I think is...
Well, I mean, you know what? I love libraries. I feel like I wish I went more. As a writer, I should go more. But every time I go to a library, I'm like, gosh, I love it here. I should just go all the time.
Right.
What a great resource.
Sure, exactly. Right.
You know what? I think that you're... kind of upset and jealous that your books aren't in the library, and that's why you hold this resentment towards libraries.
What a time to jump in. I really felt like I said that with no bitterness. First of all, my books are in the library. They don't have my name on it.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, sometimes I wish I had a little more recognition. I absolutely cop to that.
Right.
But I will say at the moment I complimented the libraries, I really meant it. There was... Karen, I think you're wrong on that. I don't think I had bitterness in that sentence.
Okay.
Hey, I like that you're a truth teller. I like mm-hmm. that you call me out, but I'm just, I think you're a little off base on that one. I got
okay,
nothing against
well,
the libraries.
You know, why don't you think about it later?
I'll think about it later.
You know, this is like when I give you a note, you fight me. You constantly fight me at the time.
We have professional disagreements.
You think about it. Think about it, and you realize I'm correct.
A lot of times I go your way. It's true.
Right.
Sell books at the library.
Yeah, I sell books at the library. Right.
Can we go back to what you said your son Glenn would go in fantastical settings?
You know, it seems like a dead end. Honestly, I feel like I explored it, and it feels like a dead end.
Okay, maybe it's a dead end, but sometimes going to a dead end, if we know why it's a dead end, it'll help us later. So, do you live in the valley?
I do, yes. Right, so, yeah. I live on Riverside in Coldwater.
Okay, well, you don't have to give your exact address. This is going to go out, so please don't.
There's a lot going on that corner.
Yeah. I'm just saying, so...
4441 Coldwater.
That's not necessary. Please don't go to this woman's address.
You're welcome to.
Please don't stop by. That's that could be dangerous. I don't know who this podcast goes out to. Mm-hmm. There's no reason to give out personal information. But I think of the Valley as a fairly suburban setting. You know, I love the Valley, but it's like, I wouldn't call it a fantastical setting. You know, there's strip malls and sort of four-lane highways and...
Anywhere can be a fantastical setting, Will. Anywhere.
Yeah. What prompted you to use that phrase, fantastical setting, even if it's a dead end?
So Glenn, again, begins in, I guess, what you could call an ordinary world of Sherman Oaks on 4441
Glenn
Coldwater.
The human.
Yeah, the human. This is my son, Glenn.
I want to say that already is a really good first sentence of a book, what you just said. Glenn begins in the ordinary world of 441 River. You know, that's a great opening sentence.
Okay, interesting.
It sounds like a dead end to you.
I'm glad you're responding to it. And then, again, he would... leave on these, adventures.
Okay.
Literal mind. And then sometimes I would just he'd be gone for several days. And then when he would come back, he would have like a scepter and there'd be an article in the paper.
And at what age did he first come back with a scepter?
Oh, five.
Wow.
The scepter was five.
Yeah. How old was Glenn? I guess I should have specified.
Oh, sorry. No, I'm sorry. Glenn was 5 years old when he came back with a scepter, which itself, to be clear, seemed ancient.
The scepter was, yes.
Seemed ancient, yes.
And there'd be an article in the newspaper.
That's right, yeah. There might be an article in the newspaper.
Son would return after being gone for several days. He'd have this ancient scepter.
Don't you get, Will?
I'm just making sure
I
heard it right.
What don't you get?
I'm just making sure I heard it right. It just seems like a lot.
You're really...
I'm sorry, yes, thank you.
...treading over the same ground. I want to know what the article in the paper said.
Oh, sure,
just get to the point, Will.
Great.
I just want to remind Karen, you are the copy editor, and I do own this firm. You're just being just a little disrespectful, and
I'm just saying there's a lot of lollygagging.
Okay, let's
and
get
sometimes
right.
you can be a bit,
okay.
you know, verbose.
Yeah.
And it's why not get to the point?
Why
you can
not?
Say something.
Let's get to
in
it.
So
it,
many.
What's the article in the paper?
Some,
what's the article in the paper?
Sure, it'd be something like museum saved by, you know, like by, you know, by Glenn Long, you know, something
oh.
like that.
Oh, he would be cited in the article.
Yeah, he would be like cited in the article or something like that, or a mysterious aurora, you know, like, you know, or whatever. Anyway, so
whatever.
I've explained. I'm sorry. We've gone down this alley and it's a dead end.
It's so really not a dead end.
Glenn,
this is
so Glenn the dog, though. Okay. You get a postman near this dog. You better watch out because okay. he is going to bark.
I'm telling you. That's a dead end. I think Glenn the dog might be a dead end.
What do you mean?
I think Glenn the barking dog might be a dead end, and Glenn the child who I think went to another reality might be a better thing to explore.
I think there's room for both.
Oh.
I think there's room for both.
I don't know. How about this first line?
Okay.
My three dogs bark. Only the one, Glenn.
Okay. We're starting something. I like the sentiment of that sentence.
Yeah.
We might be able to improve the wording a little bit on that.
Okay, how do we do that? You're the worst.
My three dogs bark. Only the one, Glenn. Okay.
My three dogs bark.
I mean,
I like distinguishing
one of the characters. I like
Great.
That we know what Glenn's Great. Deal is. He's the barking dog.
Okay, oh, that's good. Okay.
May I make a suggestion?
Yes, of course.
Yeah.
My three dogs are Cooper, Glenn, and Wise.
Yes.
Okay. That's a great first
that's
sentence.
That's awesome.
Title of the book is
where you
want
to start.
That's great.
My yeah. three dogs. We know, ellipses.
You know, we.
That's great.
Can I throw a little professional term in there? Mm-hmm. We call that the lay of the land.
Oh, that's great.
We're giving the readers the lay of the land.
It establishes the whole thing. That's amazing. Yeah, that's great. Yes.
And we're sort of letting them know what we're going to travel down.
That's great.
Just if hypothetically Glenn the boy was going to be in the book, and maybe this is a dead end.
Okay, let's explore it.
Do you know the name of this land that he would go to? Would he share that with you?
Mistos?
Mistos. Okay, so Glenn the 5-year-old piano prodigy who visits Mistos versus Glenn the dog who barks. I mean, one of them is calling out to me. Karen, do you have an opinion on that?
Like I've said, I think there's room for both.
Okay, well, I think
Look, Margo, I'm going to tell you something, okay? Mm-hmm. You have an opportunity to be the next JK, okay?
I just want to tell you, Margo, because Karen says this to a lot of our clients, and I don't think that is a fair promise.
Well, what are you talking about? What are you talking about?
Multi-millions?
We have a magical boy who goes to a magical land called Mistos that you know of, and not only that, this comes from your real life.
Okay, and
it absolutely could be a big hit. I don't mean to totally discourage you, but let's keep our expectations modest.
I don't think you need Will.
We have told, if you decide that on your own, I will of course support that, but I would say that I do have, I'm not sure Margo is the, her wordsmithing abilities are at a level right now where she could be writing a book.
Okay.
Her first sentence was, my three dogs bark, only one, Glenn. I mean,
Well, your first drafts aren't genius either.
They're better
than
that.
Okay.
And I'd like to jump in and say, Glenn was not magic. I've never seen Glenn, my son, perform magic. I have seen evidence of magic, but never him perform magical acts directly.
But he may have been around magic or journeyed to a land with magic.
Right, yeah, it's certainly. I mean, okay. Certain. I mean, again, there are certain things around Glenn that I cannot explain. True.
Glenn, when he left before this 11-year absence, you said a phrase to him like, "Go and see the world," or "Go out of the world." And
right.
Then,
yeah. I said, you know,
go out in the world,
you need to go out there. And then he said, "Okay, Mom, and I need to defeat Mr. Myth."
Ah, oh, good. Okay.
I think it's.
We have a villain.
We have a villain. I think it's possible you might see your son again. I feel like he's on an adventure.
I'm sorry. You just told her to modify my expectations, and you're saying that my son is.
I'll stand by this. I promise you, as owner of this firm, that you will see your son again.
Oh my God.
I stand by it. Hello. If you're enjoying I Will Write Your Book, please do that thing that every podcast asks you to do and go and rate and review us on Apple Podcasts or wherever you're listening. It makes a huge difference to us getting to new audience members. Also, if you have ever heard of social media, there's I Will Write Your Book on Instagram and I Will Write Your on Twitter, which features photos of our guests. And sometimes we get fun fan art that mocks up the covers of these books that we are talking about on these episodes. And it's really fun. So I hope you get a chance to check those out. And thanks so much for listening. Okay, so this is tape number 16. I'm currently driving in my car. It's me and my copy editor, Karen Donahue. We've just met with Margot Long, and so what we're doing now is we're going to discuss what we think away from Margot about this book. Karen, I'm going to go to the In-N-Out and get some food. Do you want something?
Yeah.
Okay, great. So, what are we going to do about this? We can't write my three dogs.
What are you talking about? It's the simplest thing to write.
It's the simplest thing to write. She's either delusional.
Have you ever read a children's book?
Yes, I've read a children's
book. Okay, they're very simple. Well, they're very simple. It's mostly pictures.
Yeah, I know. I don't.
We just need to get an illustrator. That's it.
Yeah.
You could bang that out in 2 hours.
I'm worried that this woman is either going under severe mental illness or has a phenomenon that we need to explore. Like, whatever.
You don't believe her?
I mostly believe her, but
okay,
I'm just leaving all possibilities open.
All right. Well, why are you saying no to a job? Why are you saying no to a job? You need the money.
I know.
You need the money. So just write the children's book that she wants. Maybe she'll be happy with it.
I do believe her, and I think her son's going to come back to her at the end of a quest at some point. I think we need to get involved with the quest, baby.
Right. Okay. But what I'm saying is you can do both. You can do both.
Okay.
All right? Write the 5 and under book. Bang it out. 2 hours. Done. Okay?
Okay.
And then I'm saying this is... These are books. They're book after book after book. The Scepter. Glenn Long and the Scepter.
I'm with
Glenn
you.
Long
I'd love to write.
The
she keeps saying it's a dead end. She keeps saying that Glenn Long and the Scepter is a dead end. I barely am holding her attention on it.
Well, you need to be persuasive.
Okay? I need to be persuasive?
Yes, you need to be persuasive.
You're putting this on me?
Of course. Do you want to write? I'm telling you that this could be a series, book after book after book.
It could be, yes.
The kid's been gone for 11 years. We don't know what's been going on. That's at least 11 books.
Look, I'd be very into writing Glenn Long and the Scepter, but I don't think Margot keeps pitching about trying to write about Wise and Cooper. Like She was pitching that idea about buying a leash.
Here, I'm going to tell you something, okay? This is something about human behavior.
I can't believe that you're lecturing me on this. Okay.
Something about human behavior that you obviously don't understand.
Sometimes
you get an idea in your head.
Yeah.
Okay?
Right.
And you just got to poop it out.
That's the metaphor you're going to use? You have to just poop it out?
Yeah.
Okay.
You just got to poop it out. And so the idea she has to poop out is this.
My three dogs.
Yes.
Okay. I think you're right.
Once she gets that, once you give her that,
then maybe we can move on to Glenn Long and the Scepter.
All right,
we'll see.
Okay.
We can do that. That's a good point.
Don't you understand that?
I do understand.
Okay.
It.
Does that make sense to you?
Why are you mad at me? I'm agreeing with you. I'm won over to your point of view. You don't need to yell at me. I got it.
Welcome to In-N-Out. Can I take your order?
No, we're good.
What?
Let's get back.
What are you talking?
I'm not hungry.
You promised me to.
I'm not hungry.
This is what you said, but you said you were hungry, and
then
we waited in this line.
Yeah, let's just.
And now we're just going to drive off.
Let's just go to the library and talk to Margo again.
We're stuck in the line. Just order something. We're
going
to have to go past the window.
We will have something. We will have something. I'll have a single with fries and a Coke. Karen, what do you want?
Single with fries and a Coke?
Yeah.
I want a double-double.
All right, and a double-double.
Double-double.
Thank you.
Let me all.
I want a strawberry shake.
And a strawberry shake. Wow, really? With a double-double?
What is it, really?
It's a lot.
You're judging me?
Yes.
I could eat the shake later for dinner.
You won't do that. All right, thank you. All right, this is tape 17, and this is Will Hines and Karen Donahue, and now we are meeting with Margot Long at the library, the Sherman Oaks Branch Library, for a follow-up meeting. Margot, thanks for meeting with us again.
Of course, I'm sorry, I'm a little flustered. Glenn is back.
What?
Yeah, my son is back.
That is great news.
Since yesterday?
Since yesterday, yes.
That is great news.
There was just a flash of light for whatever reason, and then Glenn was back. He was 22 years old.
Oh my gosh.
Just covered in cuts.
Cuts?
They'd healed. Almost like wounds.
Scars?
Yes, wounds or scars. Yes, scars. Yes, yes, scars.
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 See, I know the right word to choose.
I'm really surprised that got that reaction.
But he was back. He was a man. His skin was almost like crackling with energy. This was in Coldwater and Riverside.
I'm sorry, I just have a question.
Yes.
When you say crackling with energy, mm-hmm. was there light given off
yes.
from his skin?
Yes. Oh my gosh.
How about heat?
Yeah, and there was absolutely.
See, I can ask questions too.
Um, And then other news, Glenn the dog did the funniest thing, which was that I found out, I was like, what is going on with this rug? It seems so lumpy.
Margo, this is a dead end. Margo, this is a dead end.
A toy underneath the rug, and it covered
Nobody
it
cares.
Up.
Margo, can we get back to your son crackling with energy?
Sorry, no. He had hidden his toy from who?
That's amazing.
Yeah, sometimes dogs do that.
Yeah,
they bury it for later. They don't want anyone else.
Margo, as a professional, I just have to say that I am sorry to be so blunt. That is not interesting.
I find it interesting.
Okay.
Now here's my question: how do Glenn the dog and Glenn the boy, now man, get along?
I guess they leave well enough alone.
See?
Well, you know what? Here, Margo, Karen and I were talking. Why don't we try to wrap up quick the My Three Dogs book?
Great.
Just to get through that.
Great.
Because then I really do think you have another book about your son.
Okay. But I'm willing to try. Yes. Okay.
That's for later.
I'd love to hear your work on My Three Dogs.
I agree that Karen's first sentence is a good sentence. My three dogs are Cooper, Glenn, and Wise.
Yes.
We like that.
Yes.
Great. Hey, first sentence is get started, a lot of times it's downhill.
And I imagine like an illustration of the three dogs.
Oh my God, yeah.
And they should be visually distinct, right?
Yes.
So maybe Cooper is a little cute dog.
Oh, that's funny.
Aloof, right?
Yeah.
And, almost cat-like, arched
great.
Back.
Yes.
And then we have a Glenn is like angry looking. And,
right.
Growling.
Okay. And then Wise is sort of an older dog who's lying down, relaxed, maybe in front of a fire.
Maybe has spectacles on.
Oh my gosh, I love it.
Little pipe,
that's
maybe?
That's so funny. Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Well, I don't know about the pipe.
No, I don't know about the pipe.
Okay.
But I love it. So but again, I love
we'll
what you
put a pin in the pipe.
Yeah,
maybe the pipe.
Put a pin in the pipe.
And so then we'll maybe go through their day, like the normal business that dogs would go through in the day, and we'll see how they each react to it. Like for breakfast, they each have different things.
Have you thought about this since yesterday?
Yeah. No, I've thought about it a lot. This is a good idea, what I'm saying.
Okay, great.
Yeah, so we go through what the dogs had for breakfast, baby.
Yeah,
and we can distinguish how they all, you know, like Cooper likes, you know, wet food, like a cat or something.
How did you know that?
Is that true?
That is actually true.
That's a lucky guess.
It's so funny because, yeah, like it. Put the dry stuff in front of her. Forget about
Is
it.
Is your son still living in your house right now? Did he go back to his old room?
Yeah, he's in his, he's in his old room right now. What's that? He's 22 years old.
How is he?
Emotionally? He seems different. He seems more complex in some ways.
I would say, yeah.
He seems kind of hurt and empowered, I guess. I don't know.
Right.
Have you talked to him that much?
Yeah. I mean, yeah. We've definitely caught. I mean, of course.
This is since yesterday, right?
Yes, this is since yesterday. Yeah. I mean, I had a little bit of work to do on the book, and so
you went back to work on this book after your son showed up again.
Uh-huh. Well, I mean, we're on a roll.
I have a question.
Yeah.
Does Glenn, the boy or man, seem like he spent a lot of his life on a quest, and the quest was so important that, you know, he felt the weight of an entire universe on his shoulders that he might possibly have to save, and many people and species relied on him.
Sure, it did seem like there were, you know, again, from what he's mentioned, certain realms which are connected to ours but are not in our realm. Destroy one, destroy all. That makes sense to me. But we were just talking about the work I had done, and I thought I'd
different. You were talking about that. Okay, go ahead. I just can't believe you walked away from your son to work on the My Three Dogs book.
And I'm not going to say like I. Of course, I listened to there are many realms. Like ours, destroy one, destroy all. We had sort of talked about that, and then he seemed, I'm not a monster. He wanted a break. There was just like a lot like. He was welling up when he was talking about like the princess, et cetera. And I was like, okay, do you need a break? He was like, yeah. He's like, I might need a moment. And so yeah, so I took some time.
Okay,
I came up for a second page. Again, I love what you came up with, what you guys came up with, and
so
I love
the illustrations.
About the
second page of the My Three Dogs book.
Yeah, and then My Three Dogs Bark. No, they don't. Only Glenn does.
I like that.
So we're suddenly
that's fun. That's called a misdirect.
I guess it's a misdirect.
I hadn't even thought about
that's
it like
what
that.
It's called, a misdirect.
Trying to think of a diplomatic way to put this. I feel that might be confusing. Are you starting a conversation between... Are there quotes around any of these sentences?
Oh, I hadn't thought about that.
Yeah. Okay. So we introduce the three dogs on page one, and then in page two, it's like, they all bark, no they don't, only Glenn does. That just, isn't that a long-winded way to say, all right, we'll leave it for now. We'll leave it, I think there might be a way to
And I'm open, again, I'm open.
Honestly, I don't think you're taking this seriously enough, okay?
No, I am.
So I want you to picture, you've opened the pages of the book.
Okay.
And it says.
My three dogs are Cooper, Glenn, and Wise.
Right, turn the page.
Do they all the dogs bark? No, they don't.
Right?
Only no, Glenn does.
All the dogs bark. Turn the page. No, they don't. Only Glenn does.
Okay.
Do you understand what's happening?
Yeah.
I don't actually.
I
do you understand what's happening?
I feel like if I was reading that to a child,
then we have
they would be confused. I would be confused.
It's a surprise, and children like surprises. Okay, it's a surprise. Yes. It's unexpected.
Absolutely. What could be?
I don't think you understand.
No, I think I get it.
What a children's book is.
I really do. Okay? I really think I get it.
And I'll just say, you know, and not to say that he's a child. He's now a man. But I showed it to Glenn. Glenn loved it.
Oh,
and
see?
I thought that's Glenn so was sweet. Really. He's like, oh, that's. He's like he was like, oh yeah, that's so true. Glenn the dog does do that. And then when he turned the page, he mumbled something, and then the actual images turned into real dogs.
Oh, okay.
Well, he manifested.
I guess
real dogs.
I guess, but he loved the. What I'm getting at is he loved that.
Wait a
part.
Minute. Are you making some illustrations yourself? Have you been working
on
that?
I did a little, just like rough doodles. Do you know what I mean? Like just like
placeholders. Rough.
I am not an artist.
No,
I am not an artist.
Say that, Margo.
But again, these like
you don't know. You are an artist.
Gosh,
okay.
Well, thank you. I need to tell myself that.
You do.
I need to tell myself
you
that.
You need to
I
need tell yourself
why,
that.
It's such a narrative. It's such a story with me that I'm not.
Right.
If there
and that if you keep telling yourself that you're not.
Yeah.
Then it's going to be a self-fulfilling prophecy, which is something.
Absolutely.
Prophecy is something you know a
right.
lot about, right?
Glenn,
with
yeah, exactly.
Glenn,
having the chosen boy. Yeah, I know a little bit about
why
prophecy.
Why do you use that phrase?
Oh, that's I guess you know in Mystos, that's what they call him. But yeah, exactly. But you're right. Again, being the chosen boy is one example, and then for me, mine is I am not an artist. Only certain elect people can do this. That's a story,
yeah,
and that's a prophecy
that's,
I do,
and that's wrong.
That's my prophecy.
Look at Will.
Oh.
What about
he
Will?
Calls himself an artist?
I am an artist. I do painting on the side, and then you know, I think they're coming along pretty well, actually.
Well,
you know, Margaret, maybe
some people consider writing an art. So,
Yeah, I do, and I think we all do. You know, Margaret, maybe you could do the illustrations for my three dogs. That could be charming, even if they're not up to the standard you're envisioning. If they're done by the author and they have some heart in them, I think that could be. I think an audience could like that.
You said a good thing.
You like that?
Yeah.
You know that you're a copy editor, right? You're in charge of like grammar and like very, you know, you're not like a co-writer or editor. Do you understand that?
I know what
that?
I do.
I made that clear, right?
I know what
right?
I do.
I bring you along here mostly to just like take notes and to sort of just be on the same page with the author when we get to it. Like, right? Do you know that?
I don't know why you bring me. To be honest with you, I don't know why
you
want me
here. I like
here.
Your opinions, and I like having you here.
I don't know why you want me here, then.
No, I just...
What do you want me just to... I don't know what you want from me.
I'm just I just don't want you to get
I just
want
to ask you, do you just want me to say, ooh, put a comma there?
No, but if
or
you...
Or that's a superfluous comma.
And you guys keep going, so I'm texting my son. I'm sorry if I seem checked out.
What are you texting
him?
Oh, no, he's texting... Sorry, he's texting me. He says, Mr. Myth is back. I don't know.
What do you mean you don't know?
I put a question mark on it.
It's possible that a supernatural villain from another realm is in Sherman Oaks right now.
Yeah, I mean it seems like maybe again, maybe. I don't know. We'll see once he answers the question mark.
Right.
Margo, you should I mean, I was going to say you should write this down as a story, but also you should protect yourself. I mean, you and your son could be in great danger.
Yeah. I mean, sure. Almost assuredly, sure.
You know, that could be why he hasn't come back for so long to protect you.
I love that.
You know?
I love that.
Right? What do you mean?
Because he would
to
only
keep her out of danger.
Yeah. Right. Yes.
That's great.
I mean, I like that. That's honorable. That's something honorable in a hero. And he's giving up someone that he loves, and that's you.
What if we compromise? What if Wise the dog visits another realm? Do we like that idea?
I fucking hate that.
You hate that?
I think it's confusing,
I think it's
Will.
Confusing, and I think
you're
it's
really
wrong.
Getting
and it's not what people
want to
see.
Here.
It's not what people want to see.
But Wise, like,
I
why is he Wise?
I thought we had an agreement. You were just going to poop out this My Three Dogs book.
I'm
you're not doing it.
I'm into
you're
pooping
really...
it out. It just seems like it's a real short walk to, no pun intended, to have Wise the dog have gotten his wisdom from this realm that we have a lot of information about.
Okay, what would the pun have been?
I don't understand that. And what's the reversal
long
there?
Long walk?
Okay. I don't know. Okay.
Taking dogs for a walk?
Yeah. Okay. And then,
that's kind of a lot of math to
okay,
do.
It's a lot of math.
That one, the long walk? Okay, I'm not even saying the punch.
That's a lot of math. Okay.
That was just in the conversation. I wasn't.
Or what about,
that.
Okay, and then my three dogs act like cats. And then you turn the page. All of them do.
Okay.
And then you turn the page. Each and every one. And then you turn the page.
Each and every one. You really. And then you say,
I think I know what's coming.
And then it says, no, that's not true. And then it says, Wise is not. And it says, Glenn is not. It says, but Cooper is, though.
Yes,
it's really a long way to go.
It's not.
I like
it's a long
that.
Way to go to overturn most of what you've said. I just haven't read a lot of kids' books.
Finally. Now we've
that
we're
are
getting
like
to
that.
The,
no, I have a nephew. I have an adorable nephew, and I've read a lot of books to my nephew.
Right.
It doesn't even matter if I've read a lot of books, Karen.
You know what? I haven't read a lot of kids' books, period. There's your punctuation.
No,
you're welcome.
That's not true.
Childless?
I am childless, but I have an adorable nephew, and I've read many, many books.
Oh, great.
Yes. So I've recently have read a lot of kids' books, and they don't usually have a statement, 6 pages confirming that statement, and then 1 page that undoes it. Like, that's just not usually what happens.
Okay.
And usually, I think the authors of the book don't have somebody in their immediate family who's visiting other realms.
You're really not pooping this book out.
Okay, because the thing is, I'm just trying to keep the structure, and maybe you've seen this, the structure of My Three Dogs. Right, and
yes,
the only problem
which
is
like
that
we say a
we
thing,
set
and then
up
we
the structure. You're right.
It's a structure, which is My Three Dogs.
Let's go with the structure. So then maybe the third one is Wise is an idiot. No, all my dogs are idiots. No, all my dogs are wise.
Finally.
All my dogs are wise.
My three dogs are wise.
You got to see it. Turn the page. Look at these dogs, how wise they are. Turn the page. For real. They all are. Turn the page. Believe it. Turn the page.
This is
bad. Nope. This is bad?
This is bad.
This is frivolous.
This is so frivolous.
I just want to say there's nothing.
I like that. That's very descriptive and
about
accurate.
What I'm doing. There's nothing joking or cute about what I'm doing.
I understand that.
What you're doing is frivolous and anyone could do it.
I mean, I thought I was maintaining the pattern of what.
No.
To have 1 page that says, honestly, next page says, for real.
It.
I don't even know what you're talking about.
Because you're professional, I'm being direct with you and saying, I don't like
it. I respect that.
I think the last one should just be, my dog Wise is wise.
Okay,
Done.
Do you think that's the end of the book?
Yes, I think that's the end of the book.
Great.
I think that's great. I think it's a bestseller.
Thank you.
I love it. Now, what other details do you have about the island of? Is it an island or a land?
A realm. I mean,
it's a realm of mythos.
It seems
mythos.
To be somewhere between.
And is your son all right right now? We left off. He was battling.
Oh.
Well, we were in the middle of finding out about mythos, but. Okay.
Sure. Oh my god. Is Mr. Myth my father? And I'm going to text him back, yes.
Is that true?
Yes.
This is great.
I'm going to shoot him a quick text that just says yes.
Shoot him a quick text. So.
Yeah, Mr. Myth is his father.
Wow. And now his own father is out to destroy him.
Yes. There must be a backstory there. I'm sorry. I'm just trying.
I know it's a long time ago, probably. Yeah.
No, that's not what I'm thinking about. Oh. I'm thinking about whether there should be a fourth dog.
All right, well, you know what? We're out of time. Margo, I want to thank you so much for coming
on.
I
want to thank you both so much.
I will write your book.
Great.
You know, if you work with us, I can assure you that we can get My Three Dogs finished.
Great.
You know what? I think we just did it. I think it's done.
Well, awesome.
And I think you can use your illustrations.
Thank you.
Will to do anything.
And if you'd
that.
Ever like to come back and tell us about this story of your other life and your time with Mr. Myth and Glenn the Boy's journey, we'd be open to talking about that too.
I really like that brooch.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that.
It's unusual.
Yeah, and if you look in the middle, if you press it, you know, it glows or something. Anyway, thank you guys so much.
Yeah, nice to meet you, Margo.
Okay, bye.
Bye. Thanks for listening. This is an episode of I Will Write Your Book. This is a Campfire Media podcast. My name's Will Hines. I'm your host. You can find me on social media at Will Hines. I'm also the author of the book, How to Be the Greatest Improviser on Earth. The other performers in this episode were Pam Murphy, who played Karen Donahue. Pam is a performer at the Upright Citizens Brigade Theater. You can see her on social media under her handle, Murphy Please. And she is featured in an upcoming series called The Mapleworth Murders that will be on Quibi coming out soon. The other performer was Nick Mondernach. He is also a performer at the Upright Citizens Brigade Theater. and he's a comedy writer for television, most recently the animated series Duncansville. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.
Hey, it's Mia.
Hey, it's Allie.
And we host the Rom-Com Review podcast, P.S. I Love Rom-Coms.
Each week, we'll have incredible guests come and discuss a new rom-com, grand gestures, meet-cutes, and of course, that elusive chemistry. Mia, what are you doing holding that giant boombox over your head? I'm hoping to win over listeners with this grand gesture. Take us back! Find a new episode every week
and subscribe on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts.
Brought to you by Campfire Media. Wow, you're still holding that boombox.
Yeah, I've got great upper body strength. Thanks, CrossFit.
P.S. I love rom-coms.
I love rom-coms.
Campfire.